Welcome to the Fearfully and Wonderfully Me podcast, a podcast designed to help you increase your influence, develop your leadership, and maximize your results.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to today's podcast episode, Quotes to Make You Think. This is a little bit different type of episode for me, but I wanted to do one, a podcast episode, and share with you some of the quotes that I found thought-provoking or impactful from my reading over the last several months, and share with you the thoughts on those, because one of the things I think is important for us is that as we are learning and growing, to be intentional about sharing what we're learning and growing with other people so that you can learn and grow, right? And so I like to be intentional about that. And when I find quotes or thoughts or points, principles that help me see things with a different level of awareness or help see things from a different perspective, that can, number one, expand my awareness, but number two, make me more intentional about how I can apply this thought or principle. So, you know, just sharing with you some of the great quotes that I am learning over the past several months, maybe even over the year. I don't really mark down when I capture a great quote. I just capture the great quote and the person who said it. So here's something that made me think. And this comes from Susan Cain and her book, Quiet. And she says, personal opinions are often a simple reflection of cultural bias. And when I read that, I went, whoa, because it made me think about how, number one, how do we form our personal opinions? And she's absolutely right. Much of the time, those personal opinions that we think are ours have been influenced or formed by external factors. So another way to say that is not always, certainly, it's not a hard and fast rule, but much of the time, our religious or political views were shaped, influenced, and formed, our opinions, if you will, on those subjects are formed, shaped, and influenced by how our parents shaped them, right? And we don't often think about that our personal opinions aren't often ours. They are just the views, opinions, or thoughts that we've had, but we didn't intentionally pick them. They simply were inherited by the circumstances of our early years. So, for example, and again, this isn't a hard and fast rule, but to her point, personal opinions are often simple reflections of cultural bias. So, for example, if you were raised in a quote-unquote Christian household, odds are pretty good that you are a believer in God today. Now, there's nothing wrong with that. I'm not saying you should throw all your opinions out or that all your opinions are bad, but I want you to be intentional about thinking about what are the personal opinions that you have that maybe you weren't intentional about choosing them to begin with. Maybe they are cultural biases that you've inherited or picked up from outside external influences, the people around you, things you have read over the years, or early shaping influences like teachers or parents or friends. But you realize that those opinions, quote unquote, aren't necessarily your personal opinions. It's just things that you've never thought about how they got there to begin with, right? How did those opinions get there to begin with? And be intentional about that. And this could be personal opinions on health. This is a big one. Health is a big one. For example, I mean, I was not raised in a very healthy environment. I mean, if I were to have kept the personal opinion of what healthy meals looked like. Growing up, I can remember having Oreo cookies for breakfast, and that is not a healthy food, right? And so at some point, I've learned to challenge that opinion of what a healthy breakfast looks like and move away from that. But we have to think about that. How did those opinions get there to begin with? And a lot of times our health beliefs or health practices, if you will, are simply just, you know, we cook the way our parents cooked. You know, we eat the foods that we ate growing up. We like them. They're good, right? And if we're not intentional about, is this a healthy lifestyle? Then it's very easy to just adopt that and not realize that there might be something better. So again, I'm not telling you have to eat different. I'm not telling you should eat different. I'm telling you that that might be an area to consider how your personal opinion of what health looks like is either holding you back or helping you move forward. So, you know, you just have to be intentional about that. So here's a quote, Will Jadara, kind of on the lines of intentionality. He says in his book, Unreasonable Hospitality, he says, to do something with intentionality means to do it thoughtfully, with a clear purpose and an eye on the desired result. So I love that. To do something with intentionality means to do it thoughtfully, with clear purpose and an eye on the desired result. Because we talk about leveraging the power of intentional living or intentional thought, but when we are doing whatever it is with intentionality, it has to be thoughtful. It has to be on purpose with purpose. So I love the way he phrased that. So I love another quote here that this also comes from his book. And, you know, I think I shared in a previous podcast, this was one of the books I read this year. I loved some of the great quotes that I got out of it. But this quote came out of that. And he's talking in terms of clients and customer service. But I think whether you're in the restaurant business or not, this is an applicable quote. He says, their perception is our reality. Right? And that from a client or customer service perspective, their perception is your reality because you have to be able to live up to the expectation. And if you are not, then that's a reality. It could cost you clients or customers if you're not living up to that expectation. So whatever their perception is your reality in terms of your clients or customers. I think this could apply in some other different areas as well. This quote, their perception is our reality, applies personally in terms of relationships. Because here's the thing, who we think we are is not who everyone else experiences. So an example of this might be in personal relationships. We tend to pat ourselves on the back and think that we are better than we are because we judge ourselves by our intentions, from our perspectives. We judge ourselves by our frame of reference. So I'll just give you an example. One of Mac's love languages is quality time. In other words, he appreciates spending quality time together. And that's just one of the ways that he feels valued. And so knowing this, I need to be intentional about quality time. What does that look like? Am I being intentional about that? But I guarantee you, when I think I've done enough quality time, or maybe I've deposited enough quality time into my day, I would almost bet, and I haven't asked him this, but I would almost bet that from his perspective, it's not enough. Now, I don't mean that he's sorely missing out. I mean that I think, oh, yes, I have been intentional about quality time throughout the day in our relationship. And my perspective of that is yes, but my perspective and my perception is not necessarily his reality and vice versa. So his perspective, his perception should be my reality. I shouldn't be judging whether I've been intentional enough about quality time from my perspective. I should be intentional about being intentional with quality time from his perspective, because his perception should be my reality. I hope that makes sense. I hope I've said that and explained that in a way that makes sense. But that's the analogy that comes to mind, is so much of the time, our perspective is not their reality from the other person's perspective. And so when we want to be intentional about increasing influence in relationships, we need to make sure that our perception is their reality, because their perception is our reality. So a little bit of a play on words there, but I think it's a powerful point. Okay, here's a great quote from Edith Eger in her book, The Gift. And she says, "To change harmful, dysfunctional, or self-defeating behaviors, we change our thoughts. We replace our negative beliefs with those that serve and support our growth." And she goes on to say, "Choose our response to whatever life brings us, and to make meaning and derive purpose from all we experience, in particular, from our suffering." Right? So, and healing and fulfillment comes from our ability to do so. So, really powerful, because so much of the time when we go through adversity, when we go through suffering or trauma or just hard times, right? The ability to choose our response and to find meaning from that experience, whether it's growth or something you learned, or maybe there was an unanticipated positive outcome, whatever it could be, right? The ability to choose that response and find that meaning and purpose, and to change our thoughts about that experience, is where our growth is. And replacing negative beliefs, our negative mindsets, with beliefs that do serve and support our growth. And that's hard to do. That is so hard to do. And I've come back again and again to the power of choosing your response emotionally, not just choosing your response physically. But when you talk about being proactive and choosing your response to what happens in life, I'm talking about doing it emotionally before you change your response physically. I mean, yeah, it's great to change that physical action or response. So let's say somebody in traffic cuts you off, and you can choose your response physically by not blowing the horn, or you could be reactive and lay on the horn and let them know you were mad at them, right? So physically, you can be proactive and choose your response not to blow the horn. But I'm talking about the power of choosing your response emotionally. And when someone cuts you off in traffic, instead of emotionally choosing to be mad about it, you can emotionally be proactive and say, that was not very nice of them, but I'm not going to let that influence my state of mind. And that is the most powerful concept I could give you, is being proactive emotionally before you have to worry about being proactive physically. Because if you get it right emotionally, you won't have to worry about being proactive in your actions or physical responses. The power of being proactive is the emotional moment of choice. When something happens, you'd say, "I'm not going to let whatever happened dictate my emotions." So much easier said than done. But I think Dr. Eger's concept of this is spot on, and just finding that power and choosing emotionally what our response is. And she says it obviously a little bit different than I do, but it's the most powerful concept, right? Again and again, coming back to it. Last quote that I think that I love from her book, and just to wrap up this podcast episode, is she again is talking about when things happen that we don't like, right? Trauma, adversity, tough circumstances, bad things, whatever they are. She says, be intentional about remembering it's not who you are. I'm sorry. Yeah, it's not who you are. It's what was done or what was done to you. So I think that that's powerful because when we go through tough times or circumstances, adversity or trauma, or somebody does something in a relationship at work or at home that we don't like, it's important to remember it's not who we are. We're not choosing to be the victim. It's something that happened or something that was done to us, around us, or that impacted us. But that does not define our identity. We do not become a victim simply because we were victimized in some way, right? Think about that. We do not become a victim because of something that happens. We become a victim because we choose to be the victim in that situation. And don't adopt that victim mindset. I've talked over and over about how a victim mindset is one of the greatest limiting beliefs in life, personally or professionally, is saying, I can't do this because, I can't become this because, I cannot achieve this because, right? That is playing the victim, is blaming someone or something else. And so realizing that just because something bad happens to us, that someone does something bad or something doesn't work out the way that we want it to, that's not part of our identity unless we choose to make it so. Don't make that choice. Avoid that choice at all costs because this is, again, one of the greatest limiting beliefs ever in your life, personally or professionally, is choosing to blame someone or something else for a lack of success. Until next time.
Start increasing your influence and maximizing your potential with Rhea's audiobooks. Available at audible.com, amazon.com, and iBooks. Please visit rheastory.com to learn about Rhea's books, resources, speaking, and training programs. Thanks for listening.